Welcome back to the Equipped to Lead podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute. Hey, today we're going to talk about something that I think you'll be interested in as a ministry leader. Specifically, we're going to look at mentoring your ministry leaders through the leadership pipeline. Now, this is the beginning of a four-part series where we're going to look at four stages that virtually every leader goes through. Let's talk about it. Now, I'm going to kind of begin with the end in mind here, because what we all want to become and what we want to help our other leaders become are leaders of influence. In other words, their example imprints their values and priorities on the hearts of other people. Years ago, great missionary David Livingstone was introduced to the University of Glasgow in Scotland, and when he walked to the platform, the young man could see that his hair was burned crisp under the tropical sun. They saw his body, which had been wasted and emaciated with jungle fever. They saw his right arm hanging limp at his side, which had been destroyed by the attack of a lion. When the students looked at him in that service that day, they all stood up in one accord and just stood there in silence. Why? The influence of the man, the influence that had been developed by his example. If you remember, David Livingstone passed in 1873, but he is very well known for this saying. This is a quote. "If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission by a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice?" David Livingstone had reached that level of influence. That's kind of the culmination of the leadership pipeline, to become such an example that your values are imprinted upon the hearts and minds and lives of those whom you influence. The Apostle Paul clearly reached that level of influence. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 11, listen to his words. Keep in mind, 2 Timothy is the final letter we have from the Apostle Paul before he died, before Nero had him killed. And he's talking to his protege, Timothy, his mentee, and he is referencing the power of his example. 2 Timothy 3, 10 and 11 says, "You, however," speaking to Timothy, "have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me." What's he doing? He's saying, Timothy, you know me. You know my values. It's not something I say, it's something I live. And Paul had reached that place, like a David Livingstone, better way to say it is David Livingstone had become like the Apostle Paul, of leading by influence. But how in the world do you get there? How do we get there ourselves personally? And how do you lead others? Well, I'm telling you, there is a leadership pipeline that virtually everybody goes through in order to become a really influential leader of influence. Let me give them to you in short. Leading yourself. Secondarily, leading with others. Thirdly, leading through others. And lastly, leading by example. You don't even have to be in the room on the fourth stage, because your voice is imprinted upon the hearts. What's going on in each of those phases? Leading yourself, leading with others, leading through others, and leading by example. Let me share with you what has to happen in each phase. And if it doesn't happen, I'm telling you, you can't go to the next phase. The first is leading yourself. What does it require? Personal responsibility. Just become a person of your word. If you say something, do it. Honor what you say. If you make a commitment, honor the commitment. I know that's fundamental, but listen now. I work with many, many leaders that easily say things that they do not do. And I'm telling you, it mitigates the level of their influence. Secondarily, when we become people of responsibility, the next phase of influence comes by leading with others. What does that require? Well, it requires the same thing as the first level, personal responsibility, but it also requires the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, these qualities that the Apostle Paul emphasized, why are they so important? They're important because they allow us to connect with people. They allow us to stay connected with them, and in order to lead with them, we have to have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, let's go to the third level. What happens there? Note the progression. Leading with self requires responsibility. Leading with others, added to responsibility, is the fruit of the Spirit. Leading through others. Well, that requires leading yourself and the fruit of the Spirit, but it also requires discernment. Discernment as to whom you should choose as a leader, how to train them, and how to empower them. You got to have discerning and empowering abilities in order to lead through other people. If you keep messing up on who you're choosing and empowering, you keep dropping back to having to lead with people. You have to be there because if there's a deficit on the discernment and empowerment. Well, what's the fourth level? Well, that's the one I started with, David Livingston and the Apostle Paul. Leading by example. It's where your voice is imprinted upon their heart. Hey, if this sounds confusing, it's not. This is exactly what a parent does. A parent teaches a child to be personally responsible, to work with other people, to learn to delegate tasks and to lead others as a leader, discernment and empowerment. But really, a parent wants to get a child to where values and priorities that are godly are imprinted upon their heart, leading by influence. Now, I want to take a look at each one of these individually, and today I'd like to talk to you about how Jesus mentored his leaders through the four stages, but we're only going to look at one stage today, leading yourself. Jesus helped his leaders initially lead themselves. It's the beginning point. It's when God speaks to you the next step. Have you ever noticed that God often gives you the next step, but not the next step after that? Why is that? Personal responsibility requires faith. Lord, I'm going to take this. I'm going to do this. I don't know where in the world it's going. Isn't it fascinating in Hebrews chapter 11 when God speaks of Abraham? And Abraham was spoken to by God and left his country, and it says explicitly not knowing where he was going. What's going on? God is teaching a man to live by responsibility to the voice of God in the moment. Now, Jesus did that with his leaders. You'll have to do that as well with your ministry leaders. They'll ask questions. They'll say, well, where is this going? What will I do? How will that work out? Can I just come and look and observe, and then I'll go back, I'll assess, I'll figure out if I want to be a part? Listen now, the Lord will allow a little bit of that at times, but I'm telling you, the life of faith is learning to take the next step. So this is foundational. The beginning point of developing leaders, mentoring them, is to initially focus on them leading themselves with personal responsibility to the voice of God in the moment. Let me give you a couple pictures of that from the ministry of Jesus. Jesus tended to use this next step principle, next step, honor the voice of God in this moment, and then I'll give you the next step, is what the Lord lets us know. You remember in John chapter 1, Jesus meets a few of his disciples. It's actually the recording in Scripture of the first time that he met Peter, the first time that he met Andrew, the first time that he met Nathanael. There are also two disciples of John the Baptist that John introduces to Jesus. And they go up to Jesus and they say, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus uses this next step principle. He simply says, come and see. And do you know what happened from that? What happened from that was that they spent that day with Jesus. That's a next step principle. I think it happens many times when somebody comes up to a pastor, and pastor says, "Hey, I'm having coffee in the morning. I'd love to get with you and just hear your story." That's a next step principle. Always give people a next step, and that way they can walk out a personal responsibility. That is often the beginning of a mentoring relationship that you will form with ministry leaders. That's how you find them. You hear their story, you connect with them, they spend time with you. You know, whenever you're dealing with a leader, you need to be able to help them see the next step of personal responsibility. Another example from the ministry of Jesus is in Mark 10, the rich young ruler. The young man came, very wealthy, said, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus answers the question. He said, "Keep the commandments." And the man says, "I've kept them." Well, that's obviously not true. We know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but he knew that he was a good man. And he said, "Lord, I've really done well in this area." And Jesus looked at him and gave him the next step principle. The next step, he looked at him. Mark's gospel in chapter 10 says Jesus looked at him and loved him. But Jesus shared very openly with him. He said, "You're just lacking one thing. Sell everything that you have and come and follow and be my disciple." Jesus gave him the next step to overcome the barrier that was holding him back. Hey, isn't that what Jesus does with you and me as well? That he gives us the next step that overcomes the barrier that is holding us back. It's a principle. Learn as a leader, as a ministry leader, as you're putting your team together, as you're mentoring your ministry leaders who are becoming more than helpers, they're becoming partners with you. Learn to give them the next step that, "Hey, let's do this next," or "The next step for you would be this." It's a great principle. Leadership begins with leading yourself, but it does move through four stages: leading yourself, leading with others, leading through others, and then leading by example. Let me close out with this. John Ashcroft's father, now John, if you remember, served in public offices for many years. He was the senator from Missouri. He later became the Attorney General of the United States. In 1995, before John was sworn into the Senate, his dad, who was a minister and a very godly man — John has a wonderful heritage, the Ashcroft family — in 1995, before John was sworn into the Senate, his dad arranged for a prayer meeting there in Washington, D.C. There were about 15 to 20 people who came out. And John's dad said, "John, why don't you play the piano and we'll sing?" John was a wonderful pianist. Is a wonderful pianist. John sat down and said, "Dad, you name it. What do you want to sing?" And his dad said, "John, play and lead us, and we're standing on holy ground." And as John sat there at the piano, he just thought out loud, "Boy, I tell you, I wish this were a dedication service." And John's friend Dick Foth heard him speak up, and he said, "John, we can do that tomorrow." And they all gathered the next morning. And they were there to anoint John with oil, to pray over him, lay hands on him. Isn't that wonderful? Well, John Ashcroft really did not know that his dad was near death. And that dedication service that they had that following morning, when they lay hands on John Ashcroft before he was sworn into the Senate, well, that was one of the times that John heard his dad speak so consequentially over his life. At one point, the following morning at the prayer meeting, John's dad spoke up and said, "John, please listen carefully. The spirit of Washington is arrogance, and the spirit of Christ is humility. Son, put on the spirit of Christ. Nothing of value, of lasting value, has ever been accomplished in arrogance." What great words. You know what he's telling his son? "Son, lead yourself." The room was absolutely quiet. He turned to John and said, "Son, someday I hope that someone will come to you as you're fulfilling your duties as a senator, tug on your sleeve, and say, 'Senator, your spirit is showing. He's telling his son to lead himself. It was just a few months after that that John's father passed away. And within a short period of time, John was found himself standing at the airport trying to board a delayed TWA flight, and the agent there at the desk wouldn't let him on. He said, "John, you'll never make your connecting flight." And John was getting a little heated. I've been there, haven't you? When it's just not working out and you feel like that they're working against you. And John said, "If we leave now, I'll make it." And the man said, "Nope, I am not going to let you get on that." And John's temper continued to rise. And John heard somebody behind him say this, "Yeah, he thinks he can do anything. He's a senator." And John immediately remembered his father's words, "Someday, son, I hope that somebody will come up to you and say, 'Senator, your spirit is showing.'" Isn't that great? The influence and example of his dad was imprinted upon his heart. And what was his dad telling him? Well, it's the first level of leadership, leading yourself. Son, lead yourself. Now, we're going to be chatting through these four areas. I want us to talk about how you can invest into your ministry leadership team and walk them through leading themselves, leading with others, leading through others, and leading by example. Next time, we're going to talk about leading with others and what does that require and how can we help people get there and do that well. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute. I want to encourage you, head over to paultotimothy.com and you'll find other resources there available to you that we want to give you. We have one key resource that we want to give you on developing your leadership team. It's a free ministry training course. You can find it right there at paultotimothy.com. You'll find other podcasts from Equipped to Lead. We want to resource you. Looking forward to our next time together. Again, this is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, praying that God will bond us together in these times and we will become better equipped for the kingdom. Bless you. Look forward to our next time together.